إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 10th session, reading from the topic, yani, that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has entitled, yani, Tariqat Ahl Sunnah Al-Amaliyya, yani, the way of Ahl Sunnah in actions. And this, yani, reading is taken from the final two chapters of the classical work of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah. And yani, we have been reading for the last few sessions from the final chapter, which is, yani, along with the chapter before it, what Fadilat al-Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, what he described as, yani, the core of this topic, yani, the ending, the final chapters of this book, is the sifat of Ahli Sunnah, التي هي من مكملات العقيدة. Yani, the sifat, the characteristics or qualities of Ahli Sunnah, which are those things which complete and perfect the aqidah. So, yani, there is no doubt of the importance of these matters, that if a person understands and realizes the importance of aqidah, so these are the things that complete and perfect it. Yani, there's no escape from it. We are definitely in need. So, in any case, before we look at the topic for tonight, we want to quickly review some of the topics from last week from question and study guide number 9. The first question being memorize the sixth statement of the author, rahimahullah, that is from the text of the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, related to as-sabr and as-shukr, patience and gratitude. And from last week's class, the sixth statement of the author concerning Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, ya'muruna bi what? Naam, Abu Bakr.
Ya'muruna bis-sabri ala al-bala'i wa-shukri inda al-khala'i
inda al-rakha'i
wa-rikha'i
rida
wa-rida'i bi-murri al-qada'i.
Naam, jayid, jazakallahu khair. Anybody else? Anybody memorize this line? يعني أهل السنة والجماعة يأمرون وتوا بالصبر. نعم.
بالصبر
عند البلاء. عند البلاء وعلى البلاء. نعم. Both of them came the wording.
والشكر عند الرخاء. والرضا بمر القضاء.
نعم. يعني this line from the text of the book is a very important statement. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is reminding us that the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah consider something as very important, such that they command themselves and others with, yani, sabr, patience with trials and afflictions, and shukr, gratitude, yani, with the person whose condition is good, when they have sufficient, yani, provisions and safety and security in their living, that they should express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-ridha, we said that this is a continuation of the first point, yani, the sabr, being patient with trials, yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and being pleased, yani, that's a higher level than being patient, being pleased with the bitter, yani, bitterness, bitter things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. So this is a very important statement, And yani, it's something that we need to think about and implement into our lives, yani, patience and gratitude. Question number two. Discuss the Sheikh's, yani, the Sheikh meaning the yani, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, his explanation of the statement, they command the people to have patience at the time of trials. Yani, what did he say in his explanation concerning this point? That the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah command the people to be patient when they are subjected to trials. Now, Muhammad.
Be patient at the time that it happens, the moment that it affects you.
Yani, being patient at the moment that it affects you. Yani, at the time that the trial befalls you. Not after 1 week or 1 month or a year later, now you are patient. Yani, what else did he say concerning this? Very, very important. Abdullah.
They command others as well as themselves.
Yani, that they are not just commanding other people to be patient, but they are also including themselves in this. Naam, that's very important. And this is yani, something that we commented on last week. I won't go any further with that. Now, what else?
Restrain their soul from being angry.
Yani, being patient means restraining their self from
anger with the heart, their tongue, and their limbs as in their actions.
Yeah, I would like to just rephrase this a little bit. Yani, restraining their self from anger. Probably more, a better yani, way to translate this would be restraining their self from expressing displeasure. Expressing displeasure, whether on their tongue and their speech, or in their heart, or in their actions. Yani, even though yani, we can translate this word as anger, but it's more befitting that we say that the person that sabr means that a person restrains themselves, not just from anger, but more important than that, from expressing displeasure with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed to before you. Yani, that a person shouldn't say or act or have in their heart yani, a feeling or something that shows they are displeased with what Allah has decreed. When they know that Allah has decreed it. And Allah is our Rabb, and He has the right to decree whatever He decrees, to afflict us whatever He afflicts us with. And it's not for us to be displeased with Him as our Rabb. Naam, also after this, memorize. Question number three, memorize the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, 155 and 156 ayah mentioned by the Shaykh, which shows the excellence of being patient with trials. The ayah. Anybody memorize this ayah? Anybody memorize Surah Al-Baqarah? Allahu Akbar. Naam. Wala nabluwannakum. Be careful. Wala natla. Wala nabluwannakum. Naam. 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 Anybody know the meaning of this ayah? Without looking in the book. Meaning of this ayah. وَلَنَبْلِوَنَّكُمْ means what? Yani, the lamb here is not la nafiyah. This is for ta'keed. Naam. وَلَنَبْلِوَنَّكُمْ نَبْلِوَنَّكُمْ means we will definitely, certainly test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ Yani, with some different things. Fear and
Hunger.
And loss of wealth, lives, fruits. And then he said what? Wabashir al-sabirin. This is the point in this ayah that we want to allude to. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will definitely test you with different various things. But yani, there's good news for those who are patient with these trials. Yani, good news of what? The reward of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. Naam, in Allah's Jannah. And then after this, the ayah goes. The Allah goes on to say what? Yani, those who when an affliction befalls them, what is their attitude? What is their approach? What is their perspective? What is their response? They say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." This should be the response of the believer when we know that nothing happens, nothing occurs, nothing befalls us, whether it's that which we are pleased with or not. Except by the permission of Allah, except by the decree of Allah. So once it has occurred, the event has taken place, then we know it's the decree of Allah. And therefore, we should acknowledge, submit, and accept that yani, we belong to Allah, and to Him we will return. This is a very important ayah, and it contains a lot of points. And yani, the main point we want to show here what is the excellence of being patient with trials, that Allah gives good news to those who are patient with trials, and yani who recognize and accept that Allah has the right to decree yani for us whatever He wills. Question number 4, discuss some of the areas in which a person may be afflicted, mentioning the worst area in which a person can be afflicted. What are some of the things that people are afflicted with in general? Now, themselves and their own physical being, their own health or well-being. Now, their wealth, huh?
Children,
loved ones,
companions,
their town, yani maybe the place where they live, the city, their country is afflicted, huh? They're afflicted with poverty, and the Muslims in general. Yani the Shaykh mentioned different things just as examples of the things, the common things that people are afflicted with. But he said the worst affliction that befalls a person is in their deen. Yani afflictions are in our worldly life or in our deen. But the worst of them, by far, are the afflictions that befall a person in their deen. That a person, yani, is afflicted with the trial of misguidance, of innovation, of kufr, of yani apostasy. This is the worst affliction that can befall a person. The question number 5, discuss briefly the ikhtilaf of the ulama concerning whether afflictions or comfort and ease is the greater trial. Yani the trials that a person is afflicted with, is this the greater trial, or yani the person who is given comfort and ease and wealth and well-being? Now,
The ulama has probably differed on this. Some say that being grateful, having gratitude, being thankful in times of ease is harder, while others said times of afflictions and calamities and being patient during those times are harder.
And some scholars said that being patient with trials and afflictions is more difficult than being thankful or grateful yani with the blessings and favors of Allah. Some scholars said yani that being patient is more difficult, and some scholars said no, being thankful, being grateful is more difficult. Now,
the Shaykh said the correct position is that they both have their own danger and difficulties, as Allah tells us in Surah 2.
Now, he said, the Shaykh said that the correct opinion is that they both have their dangers or difficulties, and in both of them contain something that could cause a person to be corrupted, that could cause a person yani to be hurt, to be harmed. Both of them contain difficulty and hardship. Now, and then he mentioned yani the ayahs from Surah 2, Hud. Now, 11th Surah, which ayahs?
9 and 10.
And it's showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know that sometimes a person, yani when they're afflicted, this is a hardship on them. Sometimes when the people are giving benefit, that this is the trial for them. Yani to be grateful, to be thankful, to be humble with it. Now, you want to add something? Okay. Yani, so from this we understand that don't imagine that the person who's afflicted with trials is the one who's tried the hardest. Rather, sometimes the people who are given wealth or tried the hardest, because wealth requires gratitude, and if a person doesn't fulfill that, then that is a trial that will cause yani in the end yani a evil end. Question number 6, discuss the two ways of looking at the bitterness of the qadha, yani murr al qadha, and the ruling concerning being pleased with this. Yani the two ways that we may look at the bitterness of qadha and the ruling concerning each one. Now,
either be honorably patient or forget about it like the beast or the animal and just keep going.
Okay, the person who's afflicted with a trial, they might be honorably patient, any patient like the people of honor, or they might be like the animals who just forget about their situation and go on. The Shaykh mentioned this, yani, under this topic. However, what we're looking here for is how we look at, not how we are patient with, but how we look at the trials when they afflict us, the two ways of looking at them, yani from the perspective of Naam. From the perspective of this being an action from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action of decreeing something. Yani when a calamity befalls us, one way to look at it is that this, yani which occurred, is the result of the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's action. He decreed this. He commanded with this. He decided and judged that this will take place. Yani some calamity, whatever. This is one way of looking at it. And in reference to that, from looking at that perspective, what is the ruling concerning it? That it's obligatory what?
To be pleased with it.
Yani from this perspective, there's nothing for us except to be pleased with what Allah has decreed, with His action, Allah's action of decreeing, because Allah's actions are all good, perfectly good, complete, perfect, have no defect. And therefore, it's nothing for us except to be pleased with it, when we look at it from that perspective. The other way of looking at it, is looking at it from another perspective. Naam Musa? Mafulun lahu. Meaning what? And here, I want to pay attention to this point right here. Please pay attention to this point right here, because the way it's translated in the book, it doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. And it doesn't have any meaning the way it's translated. So what does this mean, mafulun lahu, the other way of looking at it? Yani, the other way of looking at it is that this is the result, yani the effect that occurred from the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other way to look at it is that this is the maf'ul lahu, meaning this is the result. This is what has occurred as a result of Allah's action. Yani one way of looking at it as the action of Allah. It's nothing for us except to be pleased with it. The other way to look at it is that this is the result. This is what has occurred as a result of the action of Allah. Okay, the thing that occurred, that's another matter altogether. One way to look at it, this is Allah's action. The other way to look at it, this is the effect or the result of Allah's action. And for that, we said the ruling concerning this is?
It's not wajib to be pleased with it.
No, it's not wajib.
However, it is wajib to be patient with it.
But it's wajib to be patient with it.
But if you are thankful, it's much better.
It's even better. It's mustahab. Now, so the point here is what? That when we look at it as an action of Allah, there's nothing for us except to be pleased with Allah's action. But when we look at it as the result, what occurred by Allah's decision, then it's not obligatory for us to be pleased with it. It's obligatory for us though to be patient with it. Naam. Meaning that we don't express displeasure with what Allah decreed to occur to us. We don't express it, but we are patient. Even though it may be difficult, it may be distasteful, it may be bitter. Huh? Yani that's the meaning of مر القضاء. It's something bitter that you don't like. But we are patient with it. We are patient with it. It's obligatory to be patient with it. But if we are pleased with it, understanding yani all the ramifications of it, then this is better for us. And if we are thankful for it, that's even better. And the Shaykh mentioned these four levels. Yani, the first of them being the person who's displeased with what Allah has decreed, and this is haram. And the second of them is being patient with it. And the third, the higher level, is to be pleased with it. And the highest level is to be thankful for it. Question, and we're going to come back to this discussion again in the end. Yani, the Shaykh went back to it again, and he explained it in a little more detail fashion. And we're going to look at it again, inshallah. Ya rahmukallah. Question number 7, using the example of sickness, which has been decreed by Allah, yani to befall someone. Explain the ruling for being pleased with it. Yani what is the ruling of being pleased with sickness from both perspectives that we just mentioned? What is the ruling of being pleased with the sickness that has befallen you? If you look at it from the first perspective, and if you look at it from the second perspective. Now, Waleed.
The first perspective is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who decreed this. It was Allah's action
of decreeing that caused the sickness to befall you. So from looking at it from the perspective of Allah's action,
you are obligated to be pleased with it.
We're obligated to be pleased with Allah's action. The same sickness that befell us, when we look at it from the other perspective,
is that it's better to be pleased with it, but it's mandatory to be patient with it. Like that the sickness itself got you sick.
Naam.
So you have symptoms and you coughing or whatever the case may be, you have to bear that with patience at the very minimum.
It's obligatory that a person be patient with it. From this perspective of the sickness that has befallen you, it's obligatory to be patient with it. However, it's even better if a person understands fully the ramifications of it to be pleased with it. Naam. This is a very important topic, and you know, we covered it in some detail last week, but please reflect upon it, review it, yani reflect upon it and try to understand it thoroughly. Question number 8 mentioned 3 considerations which enable an afflicted person to be thankful to Allah for that affliction. Yani 3 considerations that the Shaykh mentioned, and we discussed them in detail last week. Mustafa.
Naam.
Naam. Yani one consideration that will help a person to be thankful for the affliction that befall them, if they know that this is an expiation of their sins. Yani knowing that what? That the punishment in this world is much lighter, easier than the punishment in the next life. So if a person suffers some affliction now that expiates their sins, so they don't be punished with severe punishment in the next life, they should be thankful for this. Second consideration. Now, Waleed.
It will be immensely rewarded.
The reward. And if a person reflects upon the reward that they're going to receive for being patient, the reward of patience. And Allah said He will reward those who are patient fully with a full reward. Naam. So if a person reflects upon this, this should be a reason for a person to be thankful. Yani for that affliction. If it's going to be the means through which they're going to earn a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, that a person would not achieve the station that Allah intends for them in Jannah except through the afflictions that He caused to befall them. Naam. And the third consideration,
patience is among those who have the higher ranks, basically.
Yani the people who are patient are from those who have the highest of ranks. Yani this is a high rank, a great status that a person earns through being patient. But no one can earn this rank except that the causes for earning it are present. And the causes for earning it are the afflictions that you have to be patient with. If a person is not afflicted, then they have nothing to be patient with. It's not possible to earn this high station. So if a person understands that, then this is also a reason why a person would be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the afflictions that befall them. May Allah help us to be of those who understand all of these matters.
Amen.
And accept them in our heart.
Amen.
And then try to manifest them. Yani to actualize them in our real life. Think about this when an affliction befalls you. Think about, this is an expiation of sins. This is a means of yani multiplying my reward and raising my status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person thinks about that, a believer, there's no doubt that this will help them for sure. And okay, question number 9. Discuss the two meanings which the expression al-qadha is applied to in the Sharia. Two meanings that the expression al-qadha is applied to. In brief, and then maybe some detail. Yani, what are the two meanings that al-qadha in the Sharia is applied to? One meaning. The hukm of Allah. Allah's judgment or ruling in a particular matter. The second meaning? Huh?
The maqdi.
The maqdi. Al-maqdi. The thing that, yani, occurs as a result of Allah's decree. These are the two meanings that the word, the expression al-qadha applied to in the Sharia in Islam. One of them, one meaning, it's applied to the hukm of Allah. And the second, yani application, the second meaning that it's applicable to is the maqdi, the thing that occurs as a result of the ruling, the judgment, or the hukm of Allah. Anybody want to explain any further detail concerning? These are the two meanings that the Shaykh referred to, and he gave some details. He said both of them has two any aspects. Naam. The hukm of Allah has two aspects. Shara'an.
Which is concerning the legislation of Allah.
The hukm of Allah, shara'an, meaning that what He decreed, yani what He judged, the ruling that He made for something. Naam. And qawnan, meaning? Yani Allah ruled, Allah decided, Allah judged, Allah commanded. Qawnan, that something is going to occur in the universe.
Whether He likes or
doesn't like. Kun fayakun. Allah says be and it is. Allah decreed something to happen. Yani qawnan. Yani shara'an means the law that He makes, and qawnan means the thing that occurs as a result. Naam. And the second meaning that the Shaykh mentioned is yani al-qadha, meaning that the maqdi, the thing that happens. The thing that happens as a result of Allah's decree. And he said this also has two aspects. Any one of them is shara'an and the other one is qawnan. He said shara'an, yani meaning that Allah, huh? That Allah decreed something to be obligatory. So it's obligatory. It occurs now, it is, that's the law, that it's obligatory. Or that it's haram, or that it's whatever. That's the first aspect of the maqdi. This actually occurred, that something is obligatory, that it's haram, that it's mubah, or whatever. And the second meaning is qawnan, that Allah decrees something to happen, yani in the universe, and it happens. Yani meaning the sickness,
war.
The war,
poverty.
The poverty, wealth, health and well-being, whatever it is that Allah has decreed, naam, that it actually occurred. And the Shaykh discussed it a little further, but time is running on us, right? So please, topic tonight is also important. May Allah help us. Naam. There's one more question, I'm sorry. There's a last question. If the thing which occurs, the maqdi, as a result of the decree of Allah, is from the actions of a human being, what is the ruling concerning being pleased with it? And if the maqdi, the thing that occurs, it can either be the action of Allah or it can be the action of the human being. If it's from the action of the human being, what is the ruling concerning being pleased with that human being doing that thing that they are doing? Naam.
If it's they're doing something, the human being's action, that is obligatory, whether it's salah, zakat, or anything that is known in the Quran and Sunnah, then it is obligatory upon the Muslim to be pleased with the person that is doing that action.
If the human being is doing something that Allah has made obligatory, whether it's salat or zakat or whatever, Allah made it obligatory, if the human being is doing that, it's obligatory upon us to be pleased with it.
Okay.
Naam.
If a person is doing something that is haram, then it's obligatory to hate that action.
Naam. And the opposite, if the person is doing something that Allah made haram, like committing zina or engaging in riba, then it's haram for us to be pleased with him doing that. And likewise, the other ahkam of the sharia, if it's something that's mustahab, then it's mustahab for us to be pleased with it. If it's something makruh, then it's dislike for us to be pleased with them doing that thing which is makruh. And if it's something that's mubah, then it's mubah. It's permissible for us to be pleased with that thing that the person is doing. And these are some of the topics that we covered last week. As far as tonight, I want to read the next few statements, the 7th, 8th, and 9th statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, wherein he says, وَيَدَعُونَ إِلَى مَكَارِمْ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَحَاسِنْ الْأَعْمَالِ that the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah يَدَعُونَ إِلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ to noble characteristics or noble traits of character. And mahasan al-a'mal, the deeds, the actions that are considered to be beautiful, good deeds. This is the first part of the topic for tonight, that Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah call to, command the people with having noble character and good deeds. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, as we mentioned earlier, that these characteristics that are mentioned in this chapter are from those things that are the mukammilat of the aqeedah. They are the things that complete and perfect the aqeedah. So if a person has correct aqeedah, it's not complete and perfect unless they also have noble character and do good deeds. Naam, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, he said, makarim al-akhlaq ay atayibuha. Meaning the good, the most pure and the best of character traits. Makarim al-akhlaq. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, ahsanuha. The best of them, the best of the characteristics, good character, noble traits, the best of them. Makarim al-akhlaq. The Shaykh, he said, Al-Kareem min kulli shayin huwa at-tayyib minhu bihasab thalika shay. Makarim al-akhlaq, he said, the thing that is kareem from everything is the tayyib, the good of it, the pure of it, in accordance to whatever that thing is. And it's interesting to note, although probably there may not be any connection between them, here makarim al-akhlaq means the best traits of good character, the best of noble characteristics that a person can have. It's interesting to note that in English, and I think it's from French, they say the cream of the crop. And in Arabic, cream, the word for cream is kareem, the same word, kareem. They say kareem, that's how it's said in Arabic. In English they say the cream of the crop means what? The best of it, the best of it. And this is what is intended here. Makarim al-akhlaq, it means the best of character, the best of noble characteristics, the best qualities or characteristics, yani, that a person may possess. After this, the Shaykh, he says, yani, an example of this, or a shahid, a witness for this, yani, that Kareem, the word Al-Kareem, is the best or the most pure of anything. He said, from the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he said, Iyaka wa kara'im amwalihim. Iyaka wa kara'im amwalihim. And beware, be cautioned, be careful from taking the best of their wealth. Yani, this was when he had commanded him to collect the zakat from the people of Yemen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when you collect the zakat, don't take the best of their wealth. Yani, the best of their cattle or the best of their crops, the best of what they have, don't take the best of it. Leave that and take from, yani, what is less than that. Don't take the best of what the people have. And so the Shaykh is using this as a, yani, to support the meaning that Kareem means the best of everything. And here we're talking about what? The best of noble characteristics. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah yahtam bil akhlaq. Yani, that the people of Sunnah give care to good character, such that they adorn themselves with good character, and they encourage others as well as themselves to have good character. And this is also understood from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, very important supplication, which he taught us to say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinat al-iman. Allahumma zayyinna bi zinat al-iman. O Allah, adorn us with the adornments of iman. Yani, not with gold and silver and fancy clothing, but with what kind of adornments? The adornments of iman. So the Shaykh, he says here that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah give care to this. This is something of importance to themselves, that they adorn themselves with al-akhlaq al-fadila. Al-akhlaq al-fadila. Yani, makarim al-akhlaq. Noble characteristics. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, Al-Akhlaq, this word is the plural of Khuluq. And I don't know how, in the book, in the English translation, I think they didn't use the word Khuluq, but the singular of Akhlaq is Khuluq, not Khulq or Khalq or Khilq, is Khuluq. And this Khuluq, it means As-Surah Al-Batina. Yani, the inner form of the human being. Yani, sajaya, as-sajaya, or al-tabai. Yani, sajiyya means the natural characteristic of the human being, the natural disposition, the nature of the human being, their natural, yani, state, their taba', natural disposition. So the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying that al-akhlaq, what are we talking about akhlaq? It means the khuluq. Yani, as-sura al-batina, the inner form or shape or image of the human being, as opposed to al-khalq. Yani, khalq with fatha and sukoon means the sura al-zahira, the outward form or image of the human being. And this is important because these words come from the same root, khuluq and khalq. Khuluq is the inner form of the human being, and khalq is the outward form. Yani, what you see outside the person, their shape, their size, their color, that's their outward form. But what we are talking about here is not they are tall or short or thin or heavy or muscular or otherwise. What we are talking about here, we're talking about as-surah al-batina, the inner form of the human being. This is what we're talking about. This is what we mean by character. And unfortunately, sometimes we become obsessed with our outward form. Yani, with the image that people see, and we forget about the inner human being. And so Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is reminding us here of the importance of what? The inner form of the human being. Naam. The inner form of the human being. So the Shaykh, he says, فَهُمْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانَ سَرِيرَتَهُ كَرِيمًا. Yani, that the inward form of the human being, that's not seen by the people, yani, that's not visually seen by the people, that it be noble, that it be upright. So it is obligatory, therefore, to have these, yani, inward characteristics, qualities. يعني such as القرم and الشجاعة and التحمل من الناس والصبر. يعني that a person is has the quality of generosity and courageousness and bearing patiently, يعني the interaction with the people, يعني the harms or يعني what you suffer at the hands of the people, يعني truthfulness, trustworthiness, patience, kindness. These are qualities that are يعني commendable for the people of Sunnah. And that you meet the people with a يعني وجه طلق يعني that you have a يعني smiling face or a pleasant يعني face when you meet the people, and that you have يعني صدر منشرح يعني that a person's chest, that their breast is expanded, it's not tight. يعني when you meet somebody and it looks like you don't really, they don't want to be bothered with you, that they don't want to talk to you, that they can't deal with you, as opposed to you meet a person and they appear to be friendly and kind and open and easy. Okay, so from the characteristics of the people of Sunnah is that they meet the people with a cheerful face, and that they meet the people with an expanded breast, and that an-nafs al-mutma'inna, يعني a nafs, a soul that is at rest, that is peaceful, that is content. And all of these are from makarim al-akhlaq, from the character, the noble characteristics that the Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah call to. The Shaykh, he said, and after this, mahasin al-amal, يعني mahasin al-amal هي مما يتعلق بالجواري, يعني these are those things that are connected to or related to the limbs of the body, meaning the outward actions of the human being, the outward actions, as opposed to the akhlaq, which is the inner يعني actions or qualities or characteristics of the human being. And this محاسن الأعمال يشمل أعمال التعبدية والأعمال غير تعبدية. يعني so this includes those actions which are acts of worship, pure worship, and those actions which are not acts of pure worship. For example, يعني those actions which are not acts of pure worship, for example, buying and selling and renting and so on. يعني the interactions with other human beings, whether financial interactions or social interactions. يعني your interactions with the other human beings. So, محاسن الأعمال, it includes the actions that are actions of تعبدية, worship, pure worship, and other actions that are not considered to be pure acts of worship. Such that in your buying and your selling and your lending and you're dealing with the people in the society, the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah call the people to, in their interactions with the people, whether financial or social interactions, as-sidq wa-nus fil-amal kulliha, that the people are yani truthful and that they are sincere in their dealings with the people in all of their actions. Not just in the acts of worship, because mahasan al-amal, often people think of mahasan al-amal, يعني الأعمال الصالحة, righteous deeds, as being acts of worship, salat and zakat and siyam and things like this. The Shaykh is saying, it's not just الأعمال الصالحة, that the righteous deeds that you think of as acts of worship, but rather righteous deeds are also other actions that you do in your interaction with the people that are not considered to be pure acts of worship. So, the Shaykh, he says, إِذَا كَانُوا يَدْعُونَ النَّاسِ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فَهُمْ بِفِعْلِهِ أَوْلَىٰ. So if the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah call the people to these good qualities, good deeds, and good characteristics, then their complying, acting, doing these deeds is يعني more right. يعني it's more of an obligation if they are calling people to doing it, that they are doing it themselves. And this is, and here the Shaykh is reminding us that if we call people to good, we should not forget about doing it ourselves. After this, يعني the next statement, the eighth statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. يعني يَعْتَقِدُونَ, they believe, meaning يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. And as Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, يؤمنون به ويعملون به. يعني they believe in it and they also act upon it. They act upon what is required from the meaning of this statement of the Prophet ﷺ that the most complete and perfect of the believers in reference to their iman are the best of them in reference to their character. يعني أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا. The most complete and perfect of the believers in iman. Iman here is tamyiz, meaning they are most complete and perfect of the believers in what? In iman. Those who are most complete and perfect in iman are those who have the best character. Keeping in mind that character here is the character with Allah and the character with the human beings. But those who are yani the most perfect in their iman are those who are best in character. That means that yani the most perfect of the believers in iman is not just the person that has good aqidah, but also the person who has good character and good manners and good deeds. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi, who said that it's Hasan Sahih. And Sheikh Salih Falzan said, yani the best of them in character means those who are most yani gentle and easy and most beautiful in their character. And this hadith, Sheikh Salih Falzan says, yani this hadith contains a number of points. From amongst them is this hadith is an encouragement for people to take on the noble and good characteristics. It's an encouragement. Because why? If a person wants to be the most complete and perfect of the believers in iman, then they have to take on good character. The second thing, this hadith is also an indication that al-a'mal tadkhulu fi musamma al-iman. That actions and deeds are part of what is called iman. And it's not just conviction in the heart. Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe that iman is not only conviction in the heart, but it's speech on the tongue, it's actions by the limbs of the body, that it increase and decrease, and that there are levels of excellence and superiority of some of the believers over others. So here the Shaykh is saying, this hadith is one of the proofs of what? That actions are also included in what is called iman. And the third point he said, وَأَنَّ الْإِمَانِ يَتَّفَاضَلْ يعني that iman has levels, that some people are superior over others in terms of iman. Every iman is not equal. It's not just one level. All the people who have iman are the same. Rather, there's superiority and yani excellence of some over others. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, this hadith, يَنْبَغِي أَيَكُونَ دَائِمًا نَصْبَ عَيْنَي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that it is incumbent that this hadith always be yani in the forefront, in front of our eyes, meaning in the forefront of our mind, that we reflect upon it and look at it and consider it and try to live by it all the time. This is a hadith that we should be constantly looking at, reflecting over, and trying to implement in our lives. Because indeed the most perfect of the believers in iman is the best of them in character, ma'a Allah wa ma'a ibadillah. Yani the best of them in character, their character with Allah, and in their character with the servants of Allah. Yani character, according to the people of Sunnah, includes your relationship with Allah, your character with Allah, and your character with the human beings. Often when we think about character, a person who has good character, we're thinking about in their relation with the human beings, but rather, character in Islam includes your relationship with Allah and your relationship with the human beings, and the Shaykh explains each of them what they entail in brief. He said, as far as husnul khuluq ma'a Allah, having good character with Allah, it means that you receive His awamir, His commands, bilqubul, wal-idhan, wal-inshirah, wa-adam al-malal, wal-dajr. Yani having good character with Allah means that you receive His commands, yani His ahkam, His rulings, commands, prohibitions, whatever, that you receive them with acceptance and submission and willingness. Yani that your heart is open to it, that you accept what Allah has commanded us or prohibited us from, and we submit to it. And also that we accept His ahkam al-qawniyya bis-sabr wa-rida wa ma ashba'a dhalik. And here the Shaykh is saying what? That in the first part of this, yani husnul khuluq with Allah, it is accepting, receiving, submitting to al-ahkam الشرعية, the legal rulings that Allah has legislated, and الأحكام القونية, yani the things that Allah has declared or decreed or commanded to occur in the universe. That what? That we accept it with qubul, yani our heart is open to it, our chest is expanded for it, and we are in submission and compliance. We don't become bored with what Allah has legislated, nor do we become agitated with it. As far as the things that He decreed to happen in the universe, then we receive them with patience and being pleased with it, and what is similar to that, yani as the Shaykh mentioned, yani as-sabr wa ridha wa shukr, thankfulness and gratitude. Amma husn al-khuluq ma al-khalq, as far as good character with the created beings, faqila, yani the Shaykh said it has been said, meaning that there are many ways that the scholars have explained what is good character with the human beings. They have explained it in different ways, yani different wordings, different expressions, different aspects that they have yani focused upon. But in any case, the Shaykh, he gives one of those definitions. He said, qila huwa badal an-nada wa kaf al-adha wa talaqat al-wajh, yani the good character with the people, yani these are general categories that include many things. He said it is what? That a person expends or extends themselves in helping others, in yani generosity and charity, and that they refrain from causing harm to others, and that they meet the people with a cheerful, pleasant face. So here we have what? That on the one side, yani having good character with the people means yani helping the people, and on the other side, not harming the people, and on the other side, meeting the people with a cheerful face. The Shaykh says, the details of this, he said, as far as helping the people, it is al-qaram, yani generosity. But generosity is not specifically limited to wealth. Rather, it includes al-mal, yani being generous with your wealth, al-jah, being generous with your, yani, your position, your station or status in the society, yani meaning the influence that you have. You can help people with the influence because of your status, because of your station. Maybe you don't even have wealth, but you have good standing amongst the people, and because of your position in the society, you are able to speak up for somebody, recommend somebody, or yani ask for help for people. So this is also what is included in yani offering help, extending yourself and helping people. And also he said that it also includes your nafs, yani meaning that you help the people by your wealth, you help the people through your status or your position, and you help the people yourself physically. You get out there and help people, yani physically help people. And all of this, he said, is included in yani the first part of what is it, what he mentioned here as yani good character with the people. The second thing he said, talaqatul wajh, it is the opposite of al-ubus, yani it's the opposite of what? A person meeting the people with a frown. A frown. Yani meet the people with a pleasant, cheerful, smiling face. وَكَذَلِكَ كَفَ الْأَذَى, withholding harm from the people, it means that you don't harm anyone, not with your speech nor with your actions. And this is a reminder to us that even if we don't harm people physically, sometimes the greater harm is what we say about other people, and we must yani restrain our tongues. Here, I just want to mention quickly, yani, a note from the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, yani the beginning of the Surah, I think it's 3rd or 4th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Yani in reference to character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, indeed, certainly, you are definitely عَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Yani you are upon a high station or status, a tremendous, magnificent type of khuluq. And Ibn Abbas said, innaka, yani ala khuluqin azim, it means innaka la ala deenin azim, wa huwa al-islam. Yani khuluq azim, it means a tremendous, magnificent deen, and that is al-islam. And then Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions a number of narrations. From amongst them, he mentions the narration of Qatada. He mentions the Sa'id ibn Hisham, asked Aisha radiallahu anhu, about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, أَلَسْتَ تَقْرَى الْقُرْآنِ, do you not read the Qur'an? He said, indeed. She said, فَإِنَّ خُلُقِ خُلُقَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ كَالْقُرْآنِ. Yani she said that indeed the character of the Messenger of Allah, it was like the Quran. كَالْقُرْآنِ, it was like the Quran. And it's also narrated from Imam Ahmed, from Hassan, that he asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his character was the Quran. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, yani the leader of all scholars of Tafsir, al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah, he narrates from Sayyid ibn Hisham that I came to the Aisha, the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha, and I said to her, inform me about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ كَالْقُرْآنِ, that his character was like the Qur'an. Did you not read, yani she said, did you not read the saying of Allah, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that indeed you are on a magnificent level or stage of character. This is reported by Al-Imam al-Tabari and also by Abu Dawud, Nasai and others. And finally, Ibn Kathir mentions here, and this is really the point, yani he says that, what is the meaning of this? Yani كَانَ خُلُقُ كَالْقُرْآنِ, what is the meaning of, yani his character was like the Qur'an? The meaning of this is that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibn Kathir says, صَارَ إِمْتِثَالَ الْقُرْآنِ سَجِيَّةً لَهُ وَخُلُقًا, yani that complying with what came in the Qur'an became his natural disposition. Yani he gave up his, yani, inclination to whatever human beings are inclined to. And, yani, compliance with the Qur'an became his natural disposition. So whatever, فَمَحْمَا أَمَرَهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَعَلَهُ, whatever the Qur'an commanded with, he did it. وَمَحْمَا نَهَاهُ عَنْهُ تَرَكَهُ, whatever it prohibited him from, he left it. وَهَذَا مَعْمَا جَبَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ من الخلق العظيم, and this is along with the characteristics or the qualities, the great characteristic qualities that Allah had already placed in him naturally. This is in addition to that, yani in addition to what, al-haya, that he was already modest, al-qaram, he was generous, shaja'a, he was brave, al-suf wal-hilm wa kullu khuluq al-azim, yani jameel. He said that yani he was one who used to pardon and yani be clement or patient or tolerant of others, and all of the other good characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had yani placed within him before the Quran was revealed to him. Yani in addition to those qualities and characteristics, whatever the Quran commanded him with, he complied with it, and whatever the Quran prohibited him from, he left it. And I'll just mention here in brief, summarize, yani Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect him and grant him and improve his health. Yani he was asked a question about yani a person using the expression that yani someone is a Quran yamshi ala al-ard. This is an expression that the Arabs use, and even in America we used to hear it a lot. That huwa, in fact we had a debate in the masjid with an Egyptian graduate of Azhar one day who came with Jamaat al-Tabligh, and he said that in his presentation to the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana Quran yamshi ala al-ard. When his discussion was finished, I waited until the people had dispersed, and I pulled them to the side and I asked him, is this a hadith or is this just an expression that you use? He says, hadith. I said, can you find the hadith for me and show it to me? He said, I can find it. I said, okay, I'll be back for the next prayer, I'll be looking for it. When I came back, in brief, he couldn't find it. He said, it's a hadith, it's well known. I said, it's not a hadith. Rather, the hadith of Aisha is كَانَ خُلُقُ الْقُرْآنِ or كَانَ خُلُقُهُ كَالْقُرْآنِ. He said, that's what I meant. I said, you said it was a hadith. The point is what? That this is an expression that is on the tongues of some of the people, even some of the people of knowledge are using this expression, كَانَ يعني قُرْآن يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, يعني a walking Qur'an. Qur'an walking on the earth. The Qur'an is not created. The Qur'an is the kalamullah غير مقلوق. This is what the Ahl al-Sunnah believe. Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It's not created. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a created being. The Prophet is a created being. The Qur'an is not going to be walking on the earth. Qur'an is not created. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was created. If they mean by this that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented the Qur'an, that yani his characteristics and qualities what manifestation of the Quran, fine. But the expression that is better to be used so that there's no misunderstanding is what Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ كَالْقُرْآنِ وَكَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. After this, trying to look at the time. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, this is the ninth statement. Naam. The eighth statement was يَعْتَقِدُونَ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ نَعْمْ, that they believe in the statement, in the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the most perfect and completed believers in iman are those who have best character. And the ninth statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, يَنْدُبُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَتُعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَتَعْفُوَ عَنْ مَنْ ظَلَمَكَ. يعني that they encourage the people to يعني keep ties with those who cut them off, and that they give يعني charity or gifts to those who forbid that from them, who don't give them. يعني they give to those who don't give them, and they pardon those who have wronged them, and they pardon those who have wronged them. يعني meaning here that from the characteristics of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they encourage themselves and others to be good to those who have not been good to you, to keep ties with those who cut off ties from you. The Shaykh said, "Yandubuna" means yada'una, that they call to these qualities and characteristics. Yani that they keep ties, they join ties with those who cut them off. He said, "Min al aqarib," yani from their relatives. Yani meaning your blood relatives. That if they cut you off, you should try to connect the ties with them. Those who have an obligation that you keep ties with them. That even if they cut ties with you, that you keep the ties with them. If they cut you off, you connect yourself to them. You don't say, whoever keeps ties with me, I will keep ties with them. For indeed, this is not what is meant by yani keeping ties with your blood relatives. And this is what is understood from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and the hadith in which he said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلْ بِالْمُكَافِي. Yani the one who keeps ties, yani this is a noble characteristic of the people of Islam, keeping ties. Yani the one who keeps ties, this is not the one who merely reciprocates. Yani you keep ties with me, I keep ties with you. That's not what is meant here. But what is meant by keeping ties is the one who your relatives cut off ties with you, but you insist on keeping ties with them. This is what is meant by keeping ties. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who keeps ties is not the one who merely reciprocates, but rather the one who keeps ties is the one who, when the ties, the blood relations are cut off, then they connect them. Yani that when the ties of blood relations are cut off by others, they connect them. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked by a man who said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed I have relatives, I keep ties with them and they cut me off. I do good to them, they do evil to me. I am patient and kind to them and they act ignorantly towards me. The Prophet ﷺ said, if indeed you are as you claim to be, yani if it is as you said, yani the way you said it, if it's really like that, it is as though you are putting yani sand or hot sand into the mouths of those people. It is as though you are putting yani hot burning sands into their mouth. Meaning that, yani, it is as though, yani, when you treat them good, they treat you bad. When they cut you off, you keep ties with them. Yani, it is as though, yani, you are filling their mouths with hot sand. You are punishing them with, yani, this good behavior towards them. And this is a due punishment for their behavior towards you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يَزَالُ مَعَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ ظَهِيرٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they will remain, they will continue to be with you, a helper or a supporter over them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma dumta ala dhalik, as long as you remain treating them like that. Yani as long as you remain treating them like that, Allah will continue to provide you with a helper or a supporter over them as long as you remain in that condition. Surah Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Surah Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Encourage keeping ties with those who cut you off. And more so, yani keeping ties with those who keep ties with you. Because the one who يعني keeps ties with you and they are relative, then this person has two rights over you. The right of qaraba, يعني that they are near relative, and the right of al-mukafa'ah, يعني that you at least have to reciprocate. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صنع عليكم معروفا فكافئوه, يعني whoever does good towards you, then return good to them. And then the Shaykh said, وَطُعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and give to those who have held back from you, يعني who have prohibited you. وَتَعْفُوَ أَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ, and pardon those who have done dhulm to you, done wrong to you. As far as giving those who have prohibited you, he said, حَرَمَكَ, the meaning, مَنْ مَنَعَكَ, who held back from giving you. So don't say, they have held back from me, so I will not give to him. He has held back from me, so I won't give him. But rather, يعني we give, even to those who don't give us. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, يعني it means extending yourself in giving, whether it is charity or gifts or whatever is like that. To the one who has held back these things from you, you will give it to them. And this is because doing so is from al-ihsan. It's from the level of ihsan. The Shaykh says, and pardon those who يعني did wrong to you, meaning those who have يعني deprived you of some of your rights, either by al-udwan, by transgressing the limits against you, or either by adam qiyam bil-wajib, or by failing to fulfill an obligation that you are entitled to, يعني that a right that you have over them. يعني in other words, the dhulm is either they have transgressed against you, done something, some harm to you, or they have failed to fulfill an obligation towards you that is upon them. And he pardoning those who transgress against you. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, this is done because this is one of the ways to attract love between the people, and it is also a way to earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, al-dhulm yaduru ala amrain. Yani dhulm, it yani revolves around two affairs. I'tida wa juhud. Yani either a person who transgressed against you or a person who denies you your right. Yani either they have transgressed against you by beating you, yani physically harming you, or taking your wealth, or violating your honor. That's on one side, yani i'tida, and on the other side of juhud, he said that they deny your right and therefore they withhold it from you. They deny a right that you have and therefore they withhold your rights from you. And the perfection of the human being is in that they pardon those who have wronged them. Yani from the perfection, kamal al-insan, is pardoning those who have wronged you. We talked about this topic in detail when we were reading from another book of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, and we talked about this in detail, pardoning those who wrong you, and this is indeed, yani perhaps, difficult, but it is easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. If a person asks Allah to help them to pardon, if a person gets up in the night and prays to Allah and asks Him to pardon somebody who's wronged them, inshallah Allah will rectify their heart and make it easy for them. He said that from the perfection of the human being is that they pardon those who have wronged them. وَلَكِنْ الْعَفُوا إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ عِنْدَ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ. But real pardoning is only when a person has the ability to take revenge. Yani pardoning somebody who you can't really punish them is not pardoning. Pardon means when a person has the ability to punish those who have wronged them and then they don't punish them. Is it clear or not clear? Now, because some people think that they are doing something يعني noble in pardoning those who they don't have the ability to punish due to weakness. But real pardoning, the nobility of pardoning, is when a person has the ability to punish and they forego punishing that person who has wronged them. يعني so you pardon the people when you have the ability to punish them. And this is for two reasons. The first reason, he says, that a person has hope for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy. A person pardons, hoping for the forgiveness of Allah and His mercy. And then he says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And this is a quote Yani from the Quran, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Taghabun, 64th Surah, 14th Ayat. Yani in a series of ayats where Allah says, and whoever pardons and then reconciles, من عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله, then his reward is incumbent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first reason why a person may pardon, and that is hoping for the mercy of the forgiveness of Allah and the mercy of Allah. And this, I'm sorry, I said Surah Taghabun. It's not Surah Taghabun. Actually, this ayat came in, huh?
Surah
Shura. Surah Shura, naam. I'm sorry. Surah Shura. Came in Surah Shura, naam. That's right. Surah Shura, which is 42, naam. The 42nd surah. And the ayat is, I think, 43 or 44, somewhere around there, naam. The ayah that I was thinking about in Surah At-Taghabun, 14th, is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is the ayah I'm thinking about, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed, O you who believe, indeed from your wives and your children are enemies for you. But if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. فَإِنْ تَعْفُوا يعني وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. يعني if you pardon and if you overlook and if you forgive, then know that Allah is forgiving, merciful. Meaning that if you want to earn the forgiveness of Allah, then you have to be forgiven of the people. If you want Allah to pardon you, then you have to pardon the people. So the Shaykh, he says here that the first reason for pardoning others is hoping for the forgiveness of Allah and hoping for the mercy of Allah. For indeed whoever pardons and aslaha, then indeed his reward is guaranteed by Allah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the reward of the person who pardons a reward guaranteed by Allah. He has made this an encouragement to pardon. So that if the worshipper, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, treats that يُعَامِلَ الْعَبْدِ بِمَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعَامِلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, yani that a person should treat the people the way you want Allah to treat you. So just as you would love that Allah pardon you, then you must pardon the people. And just as you love that Allah would overlook and forgive you, then you must overlook the mistakes and the errors and the wrong of the people and forgive them. For innal jaza min jins al amal, for indeed the reward for one's deeds will be of the same type as the deed itself. Yani whoever pardons, then they will be pardoned. And whoever forgives, then they will be forgiven. And the second reason is li islah الود بينك وبين صاحبك. يعني the second reason for pardoning is in order to rectify and to reconcile and to restore the love, يعني and brotherhood and friendship and relations between you and whoever it was from amongst those who are near to you that has wronged you. And this is because if you meet evil with evil, then the ill will between you or the ill actions between you will continue. But if you meet evil with ihsan, with goodness, then ihsan will return to you. And that person, yani, will be shy from continuing to do evil to you. And this is understood from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 34th Ayat, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Yani, and the good and the evil are not equal, but repulse evil with that which is good or better than it. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And then if you do that, if you repulse evil, yani you return evil with good, then the one between you and him there was enmity and hatred, that person will become as though they are a supporting, close, beloved friend. Meaning, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us here to, instead of returning evil with evil, that we return evil with good. And this is what will rectify the relations between the people and return the love and the brotherhood and the friendship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayahs following this that this is difficult except for those who have been given patience. And in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, an authentic hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ, yani that charity is not decreased, or charity does not decrease one's wealth. And if a person gives charity, their wealth will not decrease. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا. And this is the point that we want to refer to here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't increase a person who pardons others except in honor. Yani the person who pardons other, Allah increases them in honor. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعُ اللَّهُ. And no one humbles their self. No one humbles their self for the sake of Allah except that Allah raises them up. So this hadith is an encouragement for what? Yani for pardoning, that whoever pardons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in honor. And the Shaykh, he says that pardoning the people, and this is the end of what he said here, pardoning the people while a person has the ability to punish or to take revenge is from the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Naam. Yani the people of Sunnah, this is from their noble characteristics that they pardon others. Lakin bishart an yakun al-afu islahan. But this has a condition. And that condition is that in the pardoning, there will be rectification, reconciliation, reformation, improvement of relations. Yani that the condition, pardoning people should be with a condition that is going to bring about a better situation. It's going to bring about a better situation. And this is because if pardoning the people contains within it evil or harm, then it is not encouraged to pardon in that situation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ in Surah Ash-Shura, 40th ayat. So whoever pardons and reconciles, yani improves the situation, yani reconciles, reforms, yani rectifies their heart and rectifies the relation with the one who has wronged them, improving the relationship, returning the love and brotherhood and relations, whoever pardons with this, then the reward is guaranteed with Allah. Means that pardoning should include islah, yani rectification or reformation of the relations. As far as the one whose pardon contains ill or evil, or it is the cause of ill or evil, for here, in this case, we say, do not pardon. Do not pardon. And this is because, yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever pardons and reconciles, is an indication that in it is an indication that the one who, yani, wrongs, who transgress against other people, and it is not befitting to pardon them, meaning it would not bring about good, it will not bring about some benefit according to the Sharia, then yani it is required that that person be punished, that they be punished. In this case, we are not yani commanded to pardon them. The Sheikh said an example of this is that you pardon a criminal, and pardoning this person is the cause for them to continue in their crimes. So not pardoning that person is better. Rather, in some cases, yani not pardoning them, is wajib. In some cases, it may be wajib not to pardon them. And this is the end of what we can cover tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.